I did confirm what Ed Troyer said in that first soundbite. The guy who got shot and killed is married with kids. And
they've identified him now.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yes. So he's 48 years old. Derek Williams. Mm-hmm. Apparently, witnesses say they were. He was
Ording. I think he was from Ording.
Yeah. He was driving recklessly on that street in University Place last night. And he was passing all these vehicles before suddenly stopping. And then so the truck that stopped behind him, that's where the guy, right. the other guy who was armed.
But, I mean, can you imagine if you're the wife or the kid and you have to deal with your husband slash father being dead? Because he was walking to people with a gun after road raging.
And what do you expect when you get out of a car armed with a gun?
Well, that's where things have really changed, because it used to be that people with a gun thought that they were themselves bulletproof because they were the only person bringing the gun to the fight. But there are a lot of us who conceal carry. And if, there's a good chance you're going to encounter a good guy with a gun if you're doing bad things with a gun.
Yeah, so as of right now, they say that the shooter is he's not been arrested.
Nope.
And he is likely not going to be facing any charges.
And in fact, Ed Troyer is going to join us right after the bottom of the hour news here. And he'll give us the latest and describe in more detail what went down in this really bizarre story.
But to your point, what is so bad, or what makes people so outraged on the roads that you would?
It's something about cars. It's something about the cone, because and I'm certainly as guilty of this as anyone. If somebody cuts me off on the freeway, I get furious. But I don't do it. I don't honk. You know, I learned my lesson on my 17th birthday. I've told that story a million times. I flipped somebody off, and it went wrong. It went really bad. But, you know, if you're walking on a sidewalk and somebody's walking faster than you and then kind of walks in front of you,
right,
cuts you off, you don't, what
right.
are you doing? You jerk! No,
right.
People don't do that.
Right.
But in our cars, we have this cone around us and we feel like we can do that sort of thing. And
it's just not worth it. I always think, if someone cuts me off, maybe, perhaps, they are having a really bad day.
Oh, I just think they're a jerk, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It's not worth it. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, finally something down in Olympia that is getting bipartisan support. A bill to create a specialized license plate to honor J.P. Patches and Gertrude. Who were on Cairo 7 for 1958 to 1981. And if you have come to one of my live shows, I have a little segment on Chris Wiedes, J.P. Patches, because I tell the story that I grew up with J.P. I didn't have a dad, so before school, I watched J.P. I was a Patches pal. I learned, that you had to do your homework and wash behind your ears and...
And I feel like I missed out because I didn't move here till 1988. But everyone says the same thing. It's like, I grew up with J.P. Patches.
Yes. And so he was just a horribly important part of my childhood. And he did this thing when he had a TV on set, like a phony looking TV. And he called it the ICU2 TV. And he would look in and he would see the kids who were watching, who were having birthdays, and he would say their name, and it was all very sweet.
Well, I love the license plate. It is really cute.
Yeah.
So colorful.
Yeah. And so one of my great thrills very early in my career, and this is the story I tell in the live show, and still buy tickets when we do the next one, even though you've heard this story again. But I was sitting at my desk. This is when we were all together at Broadcast House, the Cairo TV, mm-hmm. when we had the same owners. I was sitting at my desk one morning, and my phone rings. And back in those days, I would actually pick up my phone. I never do that now. But, Dory, this is Chris Wiedes, J.P. Patches. And, I was all of a sudden a seven-year-old kid again. And I had just started the show, like 2 weeks earlier. And he told me that he'd been listening for the first couple of weeks, and he said, I like what you do. And
how awesome is that?
It was incredible. And so here's a little bit also from my live show of me saying thank you when his health was really deteriorating and he was going to have to step aside from doing private events.
You know, I speak for a lot of people when I say that you mean so much to everybody who grew up in this region.
Oh, well, gosh. Well, thank you, Dory. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I was at an occasion last week where I was knighted the Prince of Mirth. And
I like that.
I had one word for everyone who was there, and it's a Greek word, and I'm going to use it again, and it's Ευχαριστώ. And I'm going to quote a friend, not a personal friend, but someone who I admired, Lou Gehrig, when he said, "I think I'm the luckiest man in the world."
Yeah, and he knew that he was in failing health then. And so anyway, down in Olympia, there's an effort. It passed the House 88-4. What are the four were? Who didn't want to
really?
Change
J.P. Patch's
license plate in the state. So it looks like it's going forward, and it'll be yet another option for a personalized plate in our state. Okay, next up in the Festus 15. Very excited. Made a date with my wife for tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah, we hardly ever go out on dates.
What are you going to do?
Costco.
That's the date?
I'm so excited. Yeah. Well, because on Sunday, it's AFC-NFC Championship Day, and so all the pre- and post-game co-hosts, Wyman and Jordan Babineau and Michael Bumpus and Ray Roberts and NASA, they all come, and Brock, I think Brock's going to come. They all come over to the house. We watch both the AFC and NFC championship games, and in between, we go out and play basketball.
Nice.
And so I have to go get the steaks, and Costco's my go-to place. I think I'm going to spring for Prime this year.
And you're calling that a date?
With my wife. She's going to go with me to buy steaks for my Saturday guys' party, or Sunday
dinner.
Guys'
what
party.
What are you guys grabbing for dinner, the hot dogs?
I don't know. Oh, gosh, those are good.
And is cherry pie in?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Now,
wrong time.
When cherry pies are in at Costco, I get dozens of emails from.
Dozens.
And
sometimes people deliver them to the station.
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, the reason I bring up Costco is because the holiday season retail numbers are in. Target, which seemed to be kind of impervious to the retail meltdown that's going on elsewhere. Target had a really bad holiday season. They were projecting big gains over a year previous, but Target was only up 1%. They were expecting 5.7%, so that's a big-time miss. Their stock took a big hit because of it. Costco, however, their year-over-year sales increased more than 9%. So at a time when, you know, JCPenney's and Macy's and Bed Bath & Beyond and Pier 1 Imports, all these stores are announcing that they're going out of business or they're closing, Costco is the one retailer.
And why do you think that is?
Because men have hunting and gathering in their DNA.
I think women like it just as much.
Didn't we just have this conversation a couple days ago?
But I think there are some women, not all women.
Some women. But the fact that if you see something at Costco and you know that it might not be there if you go back a week from now, so you have to get it now, that dials exactly into our prehistoric or Neanderthal DNA.
And I think it's actually for a different reason. We like it as much, but we like the deal. I like a deal. I'm like, yeah. I get a, you know, I don't know.
How about the free samples?
For $20 less than I get it anywhere else. It's awesome.
Yeah, the problem for me, I don't have enough pantry space. So I can't do the 40 rolls of toilet paper or the...
There's always room. You can always find some room. Your boys are out of the house now. Turn their bedroom into a pantry.
I need Costco even less.
No.
Although I love Costco. I do love, and I love the free samples.
I've told you this before, too. I never, ever criticize my wife on the air because there's nothing to criticize. But the one thing I do not understand is this perverse pride that she has. She has never had a free sample at Costco.
What?
Is it a germ thing?
No. There's something about it that she just, for some bizarre reason, decided she's fundamentally opposed to.
Well, I've made up for it for her because I'll sometimes go like twice around.
Okay, but I'll tell you something else. I'll give Costco some advice though. They got to stop letting the kids have the samples because especially on weekends, these families who bring their six kids up and they're standing there waiting for the thing to come out of their little toaster oven. As soon as it comes out, the kids look like they haven't eaten in weeks.
Oh,
the
no.
way they react to
lunchtime.
A free sample.
Oh.
It's pathetic to watch.
It makes going grocery shopping more fun.
Yeah, leave them home.
You're a child.
Leave them at home, crying out loud. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. I was fascinated by this because a few days ago, Sean Dettori and I were talking about tattoos. And
yes, sir.
In the course of the conversation, I said, this is not a criticism of any woman who has a tattoo. I just said, for me personally, a tattoo on a woman is not attractive.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's an absolute, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people who find it very attractive.
Yeah, it's your own personal preference.
Okay, now let's talk about the flip side of all of this. And Sean, you are uniquely situated to comment on this story as well.
Perfect.
A brand new study by a university somewhere found that almost all women prefer men with full beards.
Really?
Wow. And Sean, you right now are sporting about the fullest beard that you ever do.
Yeah, I actually recently just trimmed it over this past weekend, so now I'm looking a little less burly, but still manly.
Do you find that women are unable to resist your charms now?
Somewhat, but they still sort of get repelled every once in a while. But I think the beard does work for me. I don't know. When I shave it, I look like I'm 18, which also has its ups and downs, you know?
Sean plays with his beard all the time. He picked that up.
I do. Well, I pull the hair out. It's kind of a nervous tick type of deal.
Was it your hair that was in my microphone here last week?
I never sit in your chair, Dory. You know that.
So is this true? Men with beards are more attractive. Women...
They didn't ask me, that's for sure.
What do you think, Nicole? Do you find me attractive? I think that's what we're all getting.
Let's take you out of it, because then the conversation gets really awkward.
Got it.
I prefer no beard.
No beard.
I would prefer no beard, but there are some men who do really rock the beard.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I get it. If you're a hunter, grow a beard, stay warm, I don't care. But if you're asking me which I'm swiping right on, probably no beard.
I should bring in the picture of the one time in life that I had a full beard.
What?
What?
Wow.
I can't even picture it.
I was about. I looked like a terrorist.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh, I absolutely did. And I remember going to...
And did it take a while to grow it? Because, I mean, for some men, it's so easy, and then for others, it's really hard.
It's a pretty good beard.
Okay.
Yeah, I could carry a pretty good beard, but it'd be all white if I did it now. But yeah, I looked ridiculous with beard. So, anyway, didn't work for me. Okay, and finally, in the Fastest 15... I'm driving in my car. How cool is this? Bruce Springsteen and his wife, Patti Scialfa, they were side by side with their son, Sam, 26, on Tuesday when he was sworn in to the newest class as a firefighter with Jersey City. That's special. You have parents who are worth more than 99.99999 cents of Americans. You could be one of those rich kids of Instagram.
Entitled.
You could, yeah, feel like you've had a great life of comfort and leisure, and this kid chooses to be a firefighter.
One of the most honorable professions.
In Jersey City, which is a tough, rough, and tumble. That's pretty cool. That's very impressive.
And I love the pictures of them. They look so proud. Bruce looks proud.
I mean, but talk about just burnishing what makes... And Springsteen, I'm not down with his politics, but he's a great live performer. I've seen him a few times now. And his appeal is that he's this working man mm-hmm. and that he's still relatable. And the fact that his family actually lives that, mm-hmm. very cool. So congratulations to Sam Springsteen, the newest member of the Jersey City Fire Department. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Just 15 minutes will give you the world. Coming up next, that road rage incident that turned into a deadly shooting. What a bizarre story. Ed Troyer will give us all the details of how this went down next. Well, there was a really bizarre road rage incident that turned deadly down in Pierce County yesterday, and I wanted to find out the details because this really sounded unusual how it all went down. Pierce County Sheriff's Detective Ed Troyer joins us. Ed, always wonderful to have you on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so run me through the chronology of what happened between these two pickup trucks that got everything rolling here.
Well, the first lesson here to learn is if you just hold your temper in and drive away and don't engage, that man would have been sitting home with his family within about 10 minutes. But unfortunately, something went wrong with traffic, and he started passing multiple cars on a two-lane road down by a windy creek. And when he got out in front, somebody along the way honked at him or did something. He stopped his car. When he stopped his car, it stopped all the traffic behind him, and he climbed out of the driver's seat with a gun.
Wow.
Where this turns different is the passenger in the car right behind them was also armed. They didn't know each other. Passenger gets out, confronts him with the gun, short change of words, shots fired. The person who originally got out of the truck, upset, blocking traffic, ended up dead. Ended up taking multiple shots. And then the person who did the shooting called 911. And everybody stuck around, so we have good witnesses. We had an off-duty firefighter that was in the area that tried CPR on the victim and just unfortunately didn't work, and he lost his life. And if he just would have driven home and let it go, he'd be home with his kids and wife.
Wow. And you have confirmed that he's a married family man?
Correct. We confirmed that he lived in DuPont and that he is married and has kids. And unfortunately for them, their dad didn't come home because of something where somebody let their temper get the worst of them. And, you know, in today's society, if you're going to pull out a gun, you better be ready for somebody else to have one that's going to confront you. In this particular case, that's what happened. And the person that did the shooting, we didn't arrest, obviously, because he had stopped four or five cars on the roadway, exited the truck with a gun, and that changed the whole dynamics of what was going on. In fact, he may have saved some lives. We'll never know that. But what we do know is that we unfortunately have one person dead over something really silly as a horn honk or passing somebody on a two-lane road that turned into a road rage deal when none of it needed to happen.
Unbelievable.
Really pretty sad.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it's sad for the victim's family. I'm sure it's horribly traumatic for the passenger with the gun who took him down, because responsible gun owners, we hope that we never have to use it. And when you have the ultimate use of force, taking somebody's life, that's traumatic for that guy too, I'm sure.
Well, it was traumatic not only for that guy, but the driver of the other cars and the people that were down there. I mean, they were down there. I was down there last night, and they were all in tears. I mean, it's something, it's not like television. When you actually see that happen in real life, and see somebody laying on the concrete right out in the middle of the roadway dying, it's very traumatic. And so we had a lot of people. We had the chaplains down there last night, and there's a lot of people that will never, ever forget what they saw last night. And, you know, there's going to be kids that are going to grow up without a parent, and we have somebody who did the shooting who is going to have to live with that. And not that he did anything wrong,
right,
but it's just that none of this had to happen.
And so from all the eyewitness accounts, the original road rager, the guy who was shot and killed, did he fire any shots himself?
At this point, we do not believe he fired any shots himself. He's the one that came out of the truck with the gun first and pointed it at the car behind him. And that's when the passenger shot back and hit him, killing him. I mean, it was nothing that anybody could do, because there was actually a firefighter paramedic on scene that started CPR and first aid right away, and everybody was cooperative. It's just that by the location of those rounds, there's, you know, unfortunately he lost his life.
And there's a good teaching point here that I'd like to know. I'd like my listeners to know, too. So as soon as the guy brandished a gun, was the passenger in the right to shoot him? And does he have to level the gun at somebody if he's holding it by his side? What's the standard for those of us who encounter a maniac with a gun road raging out there?
Well, when you encounter somebody with a gun, just like if they're in your yard or your house, you have to be able to articulate the fear of safety for yourself or others around you. And in this particular case, when somebody gets out of a car armed and points a gun at you, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
And you're in fear of your life, or in this particular case, you could have been in fear of other people's lives because there's more than just him down there. There are others down there. And if you can articulate that, you're okay using the weapon, and that's what it's for, a well-trained person with the weapon. Now, if somebody's stealing your car stereo and you're running down the street, you fire a few rounds out of them,
right,
and you hit him, then you have a whole different story. You're not really in fear for your life at that time. At that time, it's time to call the police, let us do our jobs, and not take that into your own hands.
And all the eyewitnesses were consistent, and were they all grateful that this passenger was able to stop this guy?
Well, most of them were kind of shocked, but all the witnesses were grateful and consistent. But, you know, they just saw a traumatic incident occur, so they're going to be dealing with that for some time, and we're going to help them through our chaplaincy program, and we have other issues. When these type of things happen, you know, the call goes away and something else comes into the news the next day, but a lot of this stays with us, our department, our detectives, our support groups for much longer.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, horrible tragedy for everyone involved, and your message right off the bat. If this guy had just held his temper, he'd be living life today with his wife and kids.
Correct. Yeah, it's absolutely a shame.
Yeah, it is. Well, important story. I'm really glad you come on. Tell us all about it, Ed. Always appreciate your time.
Thanks, anytime.
Okay, Pierce County Sheriff's Detective Ed Troyer joining us. Love to hear your thoughts, 98973. You can text me at 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. It's more of a quiz. I don't know what it is. But what it was they took the top Democratic presidential candidates and they asked them, I think it was the Washington Post that did this. They asked them 50 questions of their positions on various issues. And then they culled it down to the 20 that are at the very core and heart of what they're all about. And so then I sat down and they said on, you know, these issues, one of the questions was gun owners should or should not have to register all their firearms. Another one, the United States should or should not enact a wealth tax. And then it was a carbon tax. Let prisoners vote. Consider universal basic income. Keep private insurance. Anyway, 20 questions. And then it identified that if I were to vote for a Democrat, which one I should vote for. And so let's start down at the bottom here. Liz Warren and I, the computer did not give us a love connection. Liz Warren and Bernie Sanders were at the very bottom for me. But here are the ones that, according to the Washington Post, that I could consider. I agreed on 6 of the 20 issues, which isn't very many, which means I probably won't vote for any of them. But I agreed on 6 of the 20 issues with Tulsi Gabbard and Tom Steyer, the billionaire who's self-funding his by the way, that thing, I played you the audio last hour of the hot mic between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but there was something right at the end of that clip that is so pathetic. But anyway, it was when Elizabeth Warren claims that Bernie told her a woman could never win the presidency. And during the debate, that question came up, and Bernie said, I never said that. And Elizabeth Warren's a, you know, congenital liar, so I don't believe that Bernie said that. I think Elizabeth Warren lies every time she opens her mouth, whether it's about her Indian heritage or her, and that's her word, don't jump on me for not saying Native American. She called herself Indian on her college applications when she was using her fake Indian heritage to try to rise in the ranks. Anyway, so there was a little exchange because then Elizabeth Warren afterwards was caught on a hot mic saying to Bernie, you just called me a liar on national TV.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
Okay, so look, I'm on not just national, I'm on international radio because you can pick up Cairo on the app anywhere in the world. Forget about calling you a liar on national TV, Liz Warren. I'll call you a liar on international radio. Elizabeth Warren's a big liar. Okay, but anyway, so right at the end of that exchange, though, Tom Steyer, the billionaire who's jumped into this race, he comes up to Bernie Sanders like some little fanboy. Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but hi, Bernie. And Bernie just blows him off. Bernie, he goes, yeah, good. And didn't even acknowledge him and turned away from him immediately. Listen to this right after that little Elizabeth Warren exchange.
You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Right there. He didn't even look at him. Bernie goes, yeah, good. I just wanted to say hi, Bernie. Man, have some self-respect. I know you're this socialist fanboy, but I don't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to say hi, Bernie. But the way good. You're good. Didn't even make eye contact with the man. It was so sad. I actually felt sorry for a billionaire.
All right, let's not do it.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, get out of here. I don't have time for you. That's my Bernie Sanders impression. Anyway, I match up with Tom Steyer, the guy who got blown off there, and Tulsi Gabbard. They're tied for a fourth among my Democrat candidate love matches. Yang, I don't even know. What's Yang's first name?
Shouldn't we know this?
Yang, who, by the way, they all say he's
Andrew.
Andrew, yeah, and they all say that he's some entrepreneur. Did you see his financial disclosure forms? You know, if you're an entrepreneur who's getting in the presidential race, you'd think the guy's worth $100 million or something, right? Nah, he's not worth much at all. He doesn't even sound like he sounds like a fake entrepreneur. Anyway, Andrew Yang is my third love connection among the Democrats. In at number two, creepy Joe Biden. Agreed with him on 9 out of 20 questions. But the winner of my love and affection with 10 matches out of 20 questions is that runty Mayor Bloomberg. So if Bloomberg stays in the race, that's the Democrat I should consider, they say. By the way, Joe Biden, I didn't even realize this. I discovered this yesterday. How badly, if you put it together in a montage, how badly he stumbled through that debate. I mean, because he was a complete non-entity in the debate.
And I think it's a mistake to pull out the small number of troops. The reason he made the strike was because our embassies were about to be bombed. I would not meet with... absent preconditions, instead of poking our eye and poking our finger in the eye of all our friends by stealing our intellectual property, their corporate state system to our significant disadvantage of anyone running up here in this race. Reduce the cost of drug prices. It sets up, it allows all the drug companies, it allows you to Medicare to negotiate. It should be free universal infant care. But here's the deal. Over 500 miles a day
250 miles a day. There's no choice but to, for Nancy Pelosi that I think about the American people.
Yeah, when you put it into a montage, Joe's struggling. And he wants my vote? Big Lita 2 next.